Thanks to Lagoon Sleep for sponsoring our show. Whether you're training for a race, getting in a few daily miles, or coming back from an injury, rest and recovery are critical. For deep, restorative sleep, switch to a performance pillow from Lagoon. Use the code AMR for 15% off your first purchase at lagoonsleep.com/AMR. Thanks to ASPCA Pet Insurance for supporting Another Mother Runner. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/AMR. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance. Thanks to Fabric by Gerber Life for supporting our show. Fabric by Gerber Life was designed by parents for parents to help you get a high-quality, surprisingly affordable term life insurance policy in less than 10 minutes. Join the thousands of parents who trust Fabric to protect their family. Apply today in just minutes at meetfabric.com/AMR. Welcome to AMR Answers. This is Sarah Bowen-Shea.
And this is Dimity McDowell. I am in the middle of a snowstorm, Sarah, right now. First one of the season. Did you have big snowstorms this year in Portland?
We did. We had snow and a lot of ice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We are having it. It's awesome. I mean, easily a foot of snow right now. And probably it's supposed to snow through the night.
And today is March 14th that we're recording this. A week away from the official start of spring.
We are. But we tend to get the most snow this time of year for whatever reason. But I am just like, bring it on. We have had such a dry, dry, warm winter that I'm just like, fill the reservoirs. Like, if we need 4 feet of snow, let's take it. Like, we just need, it just feels, and it's like a snow day. Like, we haven't had a real snow day. And I mean, we've had definitely days where the kids were off of school but this is like a legit, like, Minnesota up north, they would still not have school today. It's a legit snow day.
Oh my gosh. So. Wow. Wow. So Dimity, are you seated?
I am.
Oh, good. Because I have resumed strength training.
All right. Way to go, SBS. What prompted that?
Yeah. And after nearly a year off, because Brittany, my personal trainer and occasional co-host on the Friday podcast, had her baby early. And so she just stopped training people because she had a preemie newborn. So what prompted that? Oh, a certain colleague, business partner, always talking up the benefits of strength training. And I was working out with Brittany, but then I switched to somebody else now that I think about it. But then the studio where I was training just suddenly closed, just boom, folded up shop.
Gone.
And so the club that I belong to is a fair stick away. It's a 20 to 30 minute drive. And so I make the drive.
Fair
to go,
stick away. What is that? I've never heard that phrase before.
It's a reference to, when measurements were done with sticks. No.
Yardstick. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So it's a drive. And so I make the drive to go swimming. Just to do all that drive, and on my own instead of with a trainer like I'd been doing, it just wasn't lighting a fire in me.
Yeah.
And so, but finally, I'm like, okay, I'm now going to, it's all about, what you got to wear. So now last week I did it twice. I wear my clothes that I'm going to strength train in and go warm up on cardio for a little bit, do strength training, then get into my swimsuit, swim, and then change back into the same clothes that I did strength training and play pickleball because they now offer pickleball at the club. So I spend a lot of time there. And then, but it's
just to say, this sounds like a triathlon.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
that's on the weekend. I did that two Sundays in a row. But then I guess when I did it one weekday, I guess I did it Friday of last week, and I did the strength training and then swimming. So, and also because I love swimming, and I don't mean to disparage the activity, but pool swimming is not as fabulous as open water swimming. And so I'm like, if I strength train for 20, 25 minutes, then I don't need to swim for as long.
So, yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. No, I think that's a good, I think that's a good choice. And I think doing it before swimming is a good idea because like, it's kind of like you're holding out the nugget of I get to swim after this. Whereas if you like go and do your favorite thing first, then you're going to be like, oh, and plus then you're also like dealing with like wet hair and, you know, maybe, you know, all the lotion. Can you grip the, dumbbells after you put lotion on your skin? You know, it's big problems.
Yes.
That's great. Yes. Well, good. I'm glad. I'm glad for you. Good job. I mean, it is not, it's still, it will never light a fire under me the way that, you know, endorphin laced exercises do, cycling, running. Those are the two main ones, swimming sometimes, but it does pay off and you do feel stronger and you do feel like you're like preserving yourself. Like we're putting ourselves in a mason jar to age well, to pickle well.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And also, you know what I tell myself, Dim, is that it doesn't need to be for a super long time.
So, no, it doesn't.
You know, I'm like, okay, Dimity says I can just do this a couple times a week for 20 minutes. I can do this. And you know, I do body weight stuff at home. And you know, I have mentioned that I'm thinking about getting adjustable dumbbells. So who knows? But so I'm going into a new phase where my heart is open to strength training.
My heart is open to squats. I love it. I love it. Well, good job. Good job. Yeah. I'm proud of you. That's great.
Thank you. All right. Well, here is Stacy, who is in need of advice for a big marathon push.
This is Stacy calling from Bolingbrook. I have decided to give it one last go at trying to qualify for Boston in my 50s. And I have targeted some late in the year races. And for the first time ever, I have not signed up for a single race this year. And I am trying to strategize what I should do prior to my marathon. This will be my 14th marathon, but the truth is I haven't run a full marathon since 2019. So it's been a while. So do I run a half marathon as practice, which really isn't the same, or do I sign up for some 20 miler? Do I race it? Do I just go with my internal competitive driving nature and count on, you know, years gone by experience that I'll be fine? Don't want to overdo it, but just was trying to come up with the right strategy on how I should approach racing this year. I have been doing half Ironmans the last few years, so endurance events have not been a stranger, but a half Ironman is a very different event from going full throttle on a marathon. So love to hear what you guys think and recommend, and always enjoy your podcast. Thanks.
Well, hello, Stacy. An exciting, ambitious goal, and I have to put in a plug. Molly and I will be talking with another 50-something on the March 29th episode of the Another Mother Runner podcast about this very thing, about chasing a Boston qualifying time. So I want to give a bit of a primer on BQ times. So as a lot of folks know, unless you run for a charity, you need to qualify for the Boston Marathon, which I know, Dim, you are always like, wait a minute, I'm not going to run a marathon so I can run a marathon.
Felt like a lot of work.
Yeah. So the Boston Marathon, largely because of the space constraints on the, you know, old timey outside of Boston streets, they can't just admit as many people as they want. So you can't just register for it or get in through a lottery. So for Stacy, she's a woman in the 55 to 59 age bracket. She needs to run a 4:05 or faster marathon. And I actually know Stacy because she's one of our Bammer Bastards and a fellow lover of pickleball. And she told me that she's run numerous marathons in under 4 hours, though most of those were more than a decade ago, speaking of aging. And that her last speedy marathon was in 2015 when she ran a 3:56, yet back then, when she was younger, she needed a 3:55 to qualify for Boston. So,
I hate those little, although, did she really need a 3:55 or did she need like a 3:52? That's the thing. Oh,
precisely.
Right?
Yeah, that you need to do better than, unless back in the day, Tish Hamilton could squeak in, but it's pretty tough now to squeak into qualifying for Boston.
Exactly. But Stacy does have the means to do that. I mean, she did the Better Together program last fall. She was one of the mentors and she ran a half marathon undertrained, she said, and she felt fabulous. And she ran a 1:58, which you can't just double that and say she'd run a 3:56 marathon. Mm-hmm. But she definitely has it in her to run a 4:05 or faster if she trains correctly and feels that drive the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Good math there on the fly, Timothy. That was really good.
Thanks. Thanks. Well, it's 2 times 4. Subtract that from 4 hours. So we get 3:56. Yeah. That's in case you weren't looking to see behind the genius. That's how I did that.
So I really like how judicious Stacy is that, and it's a common theme from callers over the last few shows about being very deliberate in their approach to training and racing. So not surprising, you know, I think that, women runners are like that. So what's your advice on how best to jump back into racing the marathon distance? This is definitely, Stacy wanted to make it clear that this is, you know, she doesn't just, she's not.
She's the one across another finish line. She wants to race it.
Yeah. And even for the lead up races, she really is talking about racing them. So Coach Dim, this is racing. Yeah.
She wants to do this. She wants to qualify for Boston in her 50s. I love that. Okay. That's super exciting. And I'm all about her racing. As far as like races in during her training cycle, I would say you kind of have to follow the training cycle. So if she were to come in and use one of our plans again, which we would love to do that, we've like obliterate the distance or I can't remember what the one underneath it is called. It's another verb. Crush it. It's crushing it. So we're going to crush. We're going to obliterate. She would be one of those plans. And I would, you know, you could coordinate a race with one of those long runs, right? You know, a half marathon. Well, yeah, it's not exactly like a perfect tune-up race for a marathon. It is pretty dang good in that she hasn't been racing at all, first of all. So you got to, you know, I wouldn't want her first race to be when she stands on the line of the marathon.
Ooh, like that's a good just, point. Yeah.
Just because, you know, she wouldn't have done it at all this year. That's a lot of pressure to just have, you know, it's kind of almost like a warm up routine, like the other races, right? So I would say racing once or twice during that training cycle, which I mean, it's going to be 18-ish weeks, 18 to 20. So I would just work back and kind of look at some schedules. And there's nothing wrong with doing a 5K or a 10K in there too. Again, just to kind of get, you know, a triathlon is very different than a running race. Like in a triathlon, I always felt like, oh, well, I have another sport to go. So, you know, like, you know, we're running. It's like, this is it. Let's go, you know? So I would, you know, it's just a different mentality. So I would definitely recommend right now, just maybe even jumping in some 5Ks, 10Ks, not necessarily for time or speed or anything like that, but just to be like, okay, how does this feel? This feels, you know, just kind of get that mindset. And then as she gets into the actual training cycle, I would say, yeah, I would do a half marathon. I mean, you don't want to race too much. That's the thing. I would do a half marathon, maybe a 20 miler. But again, I think that that might be too much because I'm guessing that's going to be, I think that's going to be too close to her race day. And I think she'll have a couple 20 milers if she does a more ambitious plan. The other thing that I would do right now, I know we just talked about it, but strength trained so much. I know that she loves pickleball. And I don't want to take away from that time, but you know, you got to prepare your body, especially because she hasn't run a marathon in a while. And she's been doing, triathlon is great because you're cycling, you're swimming. It's low impact sports on your joints. Running a marathon training program doesn't have that much cross training, especially if you want to go fast. So, you know, get her body ready, make sure that her joints feel really good. A lot of mobility, a lot of strength training leading into the training cycle. And then you can back off a little bit during the training cycle, but you've got to keep up kind of the maintenance of it.
And you talking about the importance of racing even shorter distances, like, you know, I know Stacy, I have played pickleball with her. So I have seen her internal competitive driving nature that she mentions in her question. And so as a person who also has an internal competitive driving nature, I know that I talk the talk, but I think races remind you how to walk the walk or run the run, that I know that I have some little tricks. I know that I have them, but I maybe have forgotten them because I haven't called on them in a while.
Okay, so good luck, Stacy, and hopefully you're going to go for this BQ in Richmond when we do Better Together again. Hope to see you there, but if not, Stacy, good luck wherever you take on that BQ.
Yeah, and keep us posted. Yeah. All right, time for a quick break to hear from the brands who support our shows. Please consider supporting them. We'll be back soon.
Are you in a quest for a better night's sleep in which you fall asleep faster, sleep more deeply, and wake feeling refreshed? A Lagoon Premium Performance Pillow can help you achieve that goal. Lagoon pillows are designed with athletes in mind. U.S. Olympic Trials marathon qualifier Caitlin Keene saw her deep, restorative sleep increase by 52 minutes when she started using the Fox pillow from Lagoon. Several of our brand ambassadors got to sleep on a Lagoon pillow. They used Lagoon's easy 2-minute quiz to learn their perfect pillow from the 7 pillow styles Lagoon offers. The perfect pillow for Deanna, a Houston mom of 2, is the Otter. According to her Sleep Number bed app, Deanna's sleep is less restless with her new Lagoon pillow. Lorinda, a mom of 10, has been sleeping on a Lagoon Meerkat pillow, getting the longest stretches of sleep she's enjoyed in more than a year. Like Deanna, my perfect pillow is the Otter. It's fully adjustable, meaning you can remove fill to make the height just right for your own personal neck and back alignment. I took out some fill to let my neck relax better overnight, and I no longer wake up with a sore, stiff neck like I have been for the last few years. Since sleeping on the Lagoon Otter, I fall asleep faster, wake up less frequently during the night, and wake feeling more well-rested, often before my alarm goes off. Wake up feeling more refreshed with the perfect Lagoon pillow for you. Go to lagoonsleep.com/AMR and take their awesome 2-minute sleep quiz to find your match. Then use code AMR for 15% off your first purchase. That's lagoonsleep.com/AMR with code AMR for 15% off your first purchase. lagoonsleep.com/AMR with code AMR for 15% off your first purchase. When I feel stressed or worried, I turn to our beloved French bulldog, Augie. I don't even need to pet his sleek, fawn-colored fur. Just staring into his big brown eyes calms me down. My world is a better place because Augie is in it. That's why I was so excited when one of our brand ambassadors, Emily, told me her family is adopting a French bulldog. I shared insight about the breed, then reminded Emily to invest in pet insurance, namely ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/AMR. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/AMR. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/AMR. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance. Having my kids home for spring break has been a poignant reminder to me how fast they've grown up. And my husband and I are adding some years on the clock, too. So planning for our family's financial security has become a top priority. Making sure we're prepared and have enough life insurance in case something unexpected happens and one of us is out of the picture is crucial. And Fabric by Gerber Life makes it simple to get the protection that's right for your family. Fabric by Gerber Life was designed by parents for parents to help you get a high-quality, surprisingly affordable term life insurance policy in less than 10 minutes. You could go from start to covered in less than 10 minutes with no health exam required. The application process is all online and on your schedule. No appointments, scheduling, or piles of paperwork. Just apply when it's convenient for you. I don't know about you, but the phrase "no piles of paperwork" is music to my ears. Fabric has flexible policies that fit your family and your budget, with quality policies like $1 million in coverage for less than a dollar a day. Fabric is patterned with Gerber Life, trusted by millions of families like yours for over 50 years. With more than 1,800 five-star reviews, they're rated as excellent on Trustpilot. There's no risk to apply. They have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can cancel at any time. Join the thousands of parents who trust Fabric to protect their family. Apply today in just minutes at meetfabric.com/AMR. That's meetfabric.com/AMR. MEET fabric.com/AMR. Policies issued by Western Southern Life Assurance Company. Not available in certain states. Prices subject to underwriting and health questions.
Miwako has a swim-related concern.
Hi, this is Miwako from Brooklyn, New York. I need your advice on open water swimming. How do you get over the fear of creatures and weeds underwater? I love swimming, but I don't feel comfortable swimming with those things. I have access to a lake now, and I would really like to swim, but need your help. Love you both, and thank you.
Aw, love you too, Miwako. And cheers from one open water swimmer to another. And I got a few details from Miwako. She just got, I love these details. She got a fixer-upper cabin north of New York City on a small private lake near a state park. And when the weather warms up, she plans to swim in the lake on weekends.
Well, good. I was hoping that she wasn't going to go hop into the, what's the river? The Manhattan River? What's the...
The Hudson or the East River.
Oh, the Hudson. Yes. Where like, you know, like dead bodies float and that kind of thing. Well, we could talk about, you know, sea creatures and seaweed, but let's not talk about, you know, other kinds of debris.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. Because then, because I can't give any advice on that because I have no realistic, because I have those same concerns. Because I definitely... personally struggled. You and I are both going to talk about, we are both experienced open water swimmers. And so we can talk about our personal experience. I have struggled to overcome creatures and it dates back to being a child of the 1970s. Thanks to Jaws. I wasn't even allowed to see it in the movie theater, Dimity. Yet it was so pervasive in culture that I was petrified of sharks in the tiny pond in my parents' backyard where my dad and I paddled around. It would be wrong to say we swam in it. We really paddled. And you know, there were snapping turtles, but there were no sharks.
Well, that's, yeah, and that's going to hurt more than the shark. A snapping turtle is going to get you harder if you bother him and his jaws.
Yeah. So,
yeah, no, I have the same thing. I mean, I have it from swimming pools sometimes. I'm even like, mm-hmm. and you know, it's not rational at all, but mm-hmm. you're just like, mm-hmm. there could be something in here, you know, even though you can see through
right.
everything.
It's clear
it's
water.
Your imagination. Yes. So you got to give a lot of credit to your imagination mm-hmm. here. So like, let's look on the positive side of things. Like, yay that you're thinking outside the box. And B, like, again, it kind of goes without saying, but they're more scared of you than you
oh,
are.
Oh gosh,
of them,
that's exactly, you know, Tiffany, that is exactly what my father would tell me. That because there were also yeah. copperheads in the pond that we paddled around in.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I would never have gone in that pond. Tiffany, I mean, just the name copperhead has me like,
yeah,
already,
demon
like,
copperhead. Hello. Like, so.
Well, and then just fleeing for the trees. Like, no, I would never.
Oh yeah. No. So, and this, I mean, it was not big enough to actually get in all that many strokes. And I didn't know how to swim properly. Like I wasn't a fitness swimmer as a 8-year-old. So yeah, we had snapping turtles, we had copperheads and lots of gunky monk like floating in it.
Oh
yeah. But gosh, my dad and I really enjoyed a lot of weekend afternoons down there.
and no bites to speak
no
of.
No bites. No. So, but you know, I carry that through to those irrational fears that here in Portland, the city is bisected by the Willamette River. And when you can also run along the river and you see people fishing oftentimes for sturgeon, which, Dim, have you ever seen a sturgeon in real life?
It feels very prehistoric to me.
Yes, yeah. You have. They are massive, massive fish. I mean, they can get to be, I don't know, 6 feet long, quite heavy. They kind of have, I don't know if it's exactly an exoskeleton, but they're kind of, you can see a lot of ridges on them. So it seems like their bones are almost poking through. And up until last summer, I thought they had teeth. So
and what, even, so they try to bite you and you realize they are toothless or what? Yeah.
No, I said to someone, I'm like, it's legit. I'm scared of sturgeon. I mean, they have teeth. And someone was like, sturgeon don't have teeth. I was like, what? But so, you know, what I do tell myself about all so and also sturgeon are bottom feeders. So they're not going to swim. I'm on the top. They're on the bottom. But that unlike a land animal that has solid ground under it, so it could bite you, you know, let's say a dog that's running after you on your run, you know, even if there was a snapping turtle, it can't bite at you because it's you're floating, it's floating. There's no solid purchase for it to kind of wage its attack. And so at least that's what I tell myself. But, okay, or snakes. Okay. I mean, I realize that like sharks and things
wage
can eat.
An attack. I think we're giving these like reptiles and fish way more brain power than they really have. No purchase to wage their attack. Okay, well, there you go. So does that help you, Miwako? I'm just kidding.
I would say
a couple things. A, if it touches you, you're going to swim faster. So that's good, right? You're going to get your heart rate higher. That's a better workout.
A little interval, right?
Second thing is if you feel really like nervous about it, see if you can get a friend or a family member to go out in a kayak next to you. It's just nice to have someone else with you. Like, you know, even that's why I like triathlon so much is because I'm like, oh, I am in a pack of swimmers. Like if something's coming for us, like I'm okay because, you know, I only have to be like the slowest person not to get eaten by the bear. Right. Yeah, so right. It, not necessarily saying that, but I just think like having someone else out there so you can either recruit another swimmer or recruit like a boatsman to go next to you. Mm-hmm. And then the seaweed is just, I mean, it is gross. Like definitely like Minnesota lakes were gross with seaweed. Like it just is. And you kind of just have to, I mean, just grit your teeth and get out to where it's open or where you know it's deep enough that you're not going to touch it and just spend most of your time out there. I mean, when I did the Maine event, when I did swim run in Maine, I came across like, I'm not kidding you, like seaweed. It was like the size of a living room times four. Like, and I just had to swim through it. Like, because I was
like kelp forest. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like a kelp forest. And I had no idea, like sighting was not my forte. Like, you know, I was not swimming around this thing. It was like the only way out is through kind of thing. And so, you just kind of got to go, okay, this is what I am. And again, like, it's gross. It makes for a good story and it's not going to probably hurt you, you know? So that's what I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. So two thoughts. One is my personal philosophy and mantra, and then an actual tip. So I'm saying it because I want to remember it. So what I tell myself about the weeds and things like that is it's all organic and not in an FDA certified, sell it at Whole Foods kind of way, but it's that plant material is just that. It's plant. So back to, you know, what we were joking about being afraid of, you know, floating in the Hudson River, you're not brushing your hand against a severed body part or something else scary out of, you know, a haunted movie, or a crime scene, but it's just plant material. And yes, it feels gunky. Yes, it might get stuck kind of between your fingers or, you know, you get a little bit of it in your mouth or something, but it is natural organic plant material. And that sounds a little Pollyanna-ish, but I definitely tell myself that while I'm swimming, because when I first started swimming in that pond that I love up just across the mighty Columbia in Washington State, when I first started doing it, I don't know, 8-9 years ago, I was definitely a lot more skittish about plant material. And so that my window of when I would open water swim was a lot shorter because seems like at either end of the open water season, there's more plant material. Mm-hmm. And so, but then like 2 years ago, there was just a lot of stuff growing. And I just was like, you know what? It's a little yucky, but it's not hurting me. And so I was really proud and surprised by what I would swim in a year or two ago versus what I would have done 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago.
Well, she's so growing up. We're so proud of you, Sarah.
Truly, truly, truly.
Well, and I have to say the one thing that comes to mind here is, okay, like when you were saying organic material, like hair, dry hair, you come across it in the locker room, not so gross. Wet hair,
Don't get me started on Timothy.
But that's the same thing with plants too. There's something about them being wet and make them slimy that I think makes it harder to bear. So again, like if you can just say it's just a plant, it's just a plant. Mm-hmm. So
yes. But hair in the pool.
It is gross.
It's so gross.
At least you're not swimming in hair in the pool. You could also tell yourself that.
There you go. But also from a practical, actual health standpoint, I do want to point out to Miwako that I don't know if algae blooms are a thing out east, but they are most definitely a thing here in the Pacific Northwest. I know there's a lot of microbes and things, algae growing in a lot of open water in the Midwest, and there's stories about that. So being alert to alerts, so that if there is some website that give, you know, the counties are supposed to go around, hopefully, I mean, she says this is a private property pond, you know, like I assume, you know, kind of homeowners have an association. I don't know. I hope they're doing testing on it, because, or just knowing that, oh yeah, once you get a week of temperatures over 90, you're probably going to have an algae bloom, and take that stuff seriously.
Sure.
Because I mean, gosh, there have been a couple fatalities from people I know swimming in. There were some stories about some triathlons in the Midwest, like in Indiana and that part of the Midwest a couple years ago. So, sure. So we laugh about all the icky stuff growing, but there is some seriously dangerous stuff that can grow in water.
For sure.
Yeah. And I don't want to end on a downer note, because open water swimming, I think, is one of the greatest joys in life.
Do, 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 do.
Yeah. All right. Okay. This is Allison with Menopause Madness.
Hi, this is Allison from Tucson, and I am a BAMer. I love running with AMR and listening to your podcast especially. But I'm calling to tell you a story about when menopause and being at the gym have intersected very badly for me. So I was at the gym the other day, and I did a workout class, and it went pretty well. And at the end, I said, oh, I still have a little time. I'm going to hit the treadmill and just walk out a few miles. And you should know I'm 52, and my doctor has told me I am flickering with menopause, which means I might go 3 months before I get a period, and then I'll have 2 or 3 in 6 weeks. So it's crazy. I never know what's going on. But I've been very proud that my hormones have stayed in check and I have not gotten outrageously upset about stupid things until today. So I'm at the gym. I get on the treadmill, and there is this young woman on the treadmill, maybe like 2 or 3 treadmills away from me and in front of me. But I can see her very clearly, and she has this horrendous stride, and her arms are flying side to side. And she looks like a ragdoll cartoon running. She looks ridiculous. And I was getting so angry watching her. And there was this rational part of me saying, why do you care? What does it matter? She is absolutely nobody you know. Her running stride is not your problem. And the more I stood there and watched her, the more I wanted to walk over to her and say, tuck your arms in. They're not freaking wings. They're arms. They should go front and back, not side to side. What are you doing? You look ridiculous. And I had to eventually leave the gym. So that's my story of menopause emotions meeting up with the gym. I hope you have a wonderful day. Love your podcast. Bye.
Okay, Allison, thank you so much for being a loyal listener and for making me literally laugh out loud in my office when I listen to your voicemail.
I love it. I love it that she wanted to call and tell us about it. She had to tell someone about it, someone who definitely could resonate with. And that's us and our listeners, right?
Oh, totally. She's like, who would get this? Oh, I'll call it in for answers. So and Dim, when I listened to it, I thought, oh, you know, Allison's right around your age. And from what I think, it in kind of a similar hormonal boat as you are, it seems. So are you riding a roller coaster of emotions these days, Dim? And let me duck and cover if I ask that question.
I know, I was about to say, like, you got your algae bloom lined up to so yeah, I mean, yes, of course. I mean, I'm typically a roller coaster of emotions. I am not a person that has a very good poker face. And so, like, if I would have been on that treadmill with two people down and that girl was about to take off, or that runner was about to take off, I would have probably, like, I don't think I would have said anything, but I definitely wouldn't have hidden it with my face. Like, I just don't have those capabilities. And my emotions. Yeah. I mean, definitely. Like, I have passed that mile marker. I've gone a year without periods. So I'm in menopause now, I guess.
That's news to me. Breaking news.
Call the New York Times. It's great. Yes, my emotions. I mean, yes, I sympathize, because there are high highs, there are low lows, but there's a lot of also just like stuff that isn't as masked as it used to be, right? Mm. Like, we're not giving an F is another way to say it, you know, like you're just like, whatever, you know what? Or, you know, I'm more inclined to just let my poker face be even more visible than it used to be.
So
what about you, Sarah?
Yeah. So I'm an older mom. You know, I had my, I guess I was 36 when Phoebe was born. I had my twins, I think, when I was 39. So, you know, I actually don't admit this to many people, but now I'll just say it on the show that, you know, I felt guilty for a really long time about how I would easily lose my temper at my kids, particularly the twins, because there were two of them and they were super high energy. And I just thought I was a grumpy, bad mom, quote unquote, bad mom, and not realizing that it was hormonal because I went through early menopause. And so I was really racked with guilt for a long time because I just was like, I would always, after it would happen, I'd be, oh gosh, you know, you can control your temper. Like you don't need to, you know, just blow up at them. And then later on, I was like, oh, huh. Wow. Cause there's definitely a, you go through it. And on the other side, once you've gone through the menopause stage, gosh, things don't bother me nearly as much as they used to. And so I think if I suddenly got plopped down with 4-year-old twins in my life now, I like to think that I would be far less likely to lose my temper and to just get so aggravated and hot-headed.
Sure.
Yeah.
You have to give yourself grace for stuff like that because, I mean, you don't know what you don't know, right? Like, mm-hmm. you didn't know that your hormones were wreaking havoc on your emotions, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And even now, like, it's like, I read this prior to us recording, and I'm like, I don't know if I'm more emotional now, but because mm-hmm. I'm still in the middle of it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, in 2 years, I may feel a lot more stable. I don't know, you know? Like, it's hard to know, like, because this is my normal right now. So, mm-hmm. But I totally hear her, like, and I applaud her for removing herself from the situation instead of talking to the runner.
Exactly. And that,
you know,
and that even though this isn't a question, the reason I put it in here is because I do want people I want to normalize all of this. And that if someone had said, hey, Sarah, you know what, maybe it's just that it's your hormones making you have such a quick temper, that would have mm-hmm. alleviated a lot of that guilt. And that since you know, have just gotten on the other side of that 1 year without periods, there are so many things that then get better. For a while, I definitely thought I was in early Alzheimer's. I just could not remember anything. And now I'm like, wow, look at me, you know, figuring out New York Times connections really quickly and coming up with words and remembering people's names and things like that. And, you know, being a lot more even tempered, and just so many things get better sure. the further you get from that, crossing that bridge.
Yeah, but the bridge. So in my understanding, and just to again like clear things up, I thought, okay, it's been 12 months, I'm done, right? Like, sweet, I'm on the other side. No, it lasts for a while. So I was like, I just thought it was going to be this like crisp, like, okay, now your body, and it's like, no, it's a slow slope back down to where you are now, Sarah. So, I mean, I'm anticipating another, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know, at least 3 or 4 years of feeling. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, it's not awful. I mean, I'm taking, you know, I have some mitigation things that I'm doing that are trying mm-hmm. to, you know, minimize the swings, but it is giving yourself grace. Like, I couldn't remember the Hudson River, and I'm like, my gosh, I can see it as clear as a day as long. And mm-hmm. what's the name of it? You know? Mm-hmm. So
that's exactly what I'm talking about. That type of stuff made me think I had early Alzheimer's. And that, you know, you're talking about, if we're using the bridge analogy, I mean, I'm thinking about the Portland Marathon that used to go across this one bridge in Portland. And I don't think it still does. And you have a long, slow climb up to it, and then the bridge, and then a long, slow descent from it. And it's the same story. It's the analogy.
Like everything.
Is perfect.
It's a marathon. Yeah. It's menopause. Yeah. It's everything.
Yeah. So I want to end on a high note, though, because as a follow up. So I was texting Allison, largely I want to check on the spelling of her name. There are two L's in it. And she informed me she was running the Los Angeles Marathon this weekend, which is last weekend as folks are listening. And then I believe with her tongue firmly in cheek, she texted back, I'm running the LA Marathon this weekend. Hopefully nobody runs like an ass. 5 hours would be a long time for me to hold my tongue. So So, yeah. So
I hope she had a great race, and I hope everyone had perfect form around her.
Yes, yes. So so thank you to everyone who called in. I love the variety of these questions. I love being made to laugh by the questions. But hey, no pressure. Call in with your question. We need them. We need them.
And in your comments. We like the comments, too. Like, they're kind of fun. So mm-hmm. if you're, you know, feeling what up, you know.
Share, yeah, if you got something whatever. To share, you can share with us. You safe space right here.
Just everyone's going to listen to it.
Yeah. So the number to do all that is 470-BADASS-1. That's 470-223-2771. That number is always in our show notes. And when you call and leave your message, please tell us your first name, where you're calling from, and leave your message to make it a minute or less, please.
And so I wanted to let everyone know today is the day that Go the Distance, the early bird sale is open. Mm. So if you are
cheap,
there you go. What is Go the Distance? Is that what you're asking, Sarah? Because I can tell
you. What is Go the Distance, okay, Dimity McDowell?
It's our first ever endurance event happening. It's the weekend of April 20th and 21st. And here's how it works. You're going to pick your favorite activity. It could be running. It could be walking. It could be hiking, cycling. You can ride the Peloton. Lots of different choices. And the distance or time you want to go. So it's your favorite activity plus distance or time. It's something that you can complete in an hour or less. Probably less because you want some time to recover. So it could be 20 minutes. It could be 2 miles. And then you're going to do that activity, repeat it every hour on the hour for 6, 12, or the cowabunga one, 24 hours. And it's just going to be a fun event. We're going to have a ton of great prizes. And the prizes are not going to just be for how far you went, but it could be mm-hmm. for your grit. It could be for your creativity. It could be for the outfits that you put together, whatever. We're going to have a Zoom room open for most of the time. Probably not 24 hours though, because that's interfering with my sleep time. Dimity will turn into a pumpkin.
Yes.
Exactly. We're going to have a private Facebook page. It's going to be all over social media. We've got a great finisher sticker. I'm going to have guidelines for you. So if you're like, okay, this is interesting, but how the heck do I do it? Very detailed guidelines on how to get it done. So go check it out. Our early bird registration, you can save $10 on registration from today through this Friday, which I believe is the 25th. So you want to fact check me? Is next Friday?
No, it's the 22nd.
22nd. Oh, I'm sorry. It's the 19th to the 22nd. Yep. Thank you for that fact check.
Of 2024.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. There you go. That's my menopause brain. So anyway.
Yeah. Yes.
It's going to be epic. And the link will be in the show notes.
Mm-hmm. Always. Yes. Our podcast today was produced in St. Paul, Minnesota by Barry Madour from Fire on the Bluff.
Keep those questions coming. We are here with answers and empathy and
Seaweed and sturgeon.
Seaweed and sturgeon, but toothless sturgeon.
Yes. Yes.